Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
Did you miss us? We're back!
Welcome to episode 173 of the Brew, Drink, Run podcast. My name is Diamond Dave Lee.
This is Crazy Horse Keith.
This is Raymond.
Oh, come on, our dog. If this is your first time listening to the show, this is a mini episode. On these mini episodes, we just drink one beer and get nerdy about it. On the previous episode and the next episode, those are our full episodes. On the full episodes, we also talk about homebrewing and running and whatever else may strike our fancy that week. And we drink a couple of beers on those shows as well. If you like this show, please rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast, and write a short review. Your ratings and reviews help more people to find the show. You can also tell a friend about the show by posting about it on your social media profile of choice. Wherever you do that, be sure to tag us at Brew Drink Run. It's a mini episode. We're drinking a beer. Keith, what did you bring in for us this week?
Today, we are going to hopefully enjoy a Green Man Brewery La Mas Negra. So this is a Imperial Black Ale. Comes in at 8.9%. And this is apparently a variation on their None More Black, which is a kind of black ale, strong ale. I think it kind of falls in between some categories there. And this is sort of a version of that that's spiced with cocoa nibs, cinnamon, and chili peppers. So that kind of newish category of, you know, it's kind of it goes in that kind of herb spice category, but there's that Mexican theme that a lot of the kind of big stouts and different beers are going with these days. So,
well, I was intrigued when you sent over some options for this episode of what beer we're going to have. And it was described in the text message as a Mexican Imperial Black Ale, just in your shorthand, right? That was kind of Mexican Imperial Black Ale. And I was like, well, that sounds like it'll give us a lot to chew on for one of these mini episodes.
Indeed.
And different ways we can kind of approach talking about this beer. But before we get too nerdy about it, let's talk about what this bottle looks like, Raymond. If someone was to stumble upon this bad guy on a shelf or at the brewery, what would they see?
Well, it's a nice looking label here. It's got a red background with kind of a couple of wrestlers going at things and kind of
luchadors.
Are
they luchadors?
Luchadors, is that what you call them?
Do they have the masks or no?
No, not the background characters.
Not in the background. They're very subdued, kind of diminished in their tonalities, and then you've got the Green Man mask or face, I guess. That's
the Green
Man on
mm-hmm.
all of the Green Man Brewing labels, except he is wearing the mask.
Gotcha.
So
if you've never seen their label, he's a kind of burly bearded guy, but his beard is made out of leafy green material. Mm-hmm. And so this is pretty clever on the label, because they stuff him in to a luchador mask, and all of his green leafy beard is kind of coming out all the holes and stuff. So it's kind of cute and clever. It caught my eye on the shelf. I actually picked this, although I had been gone to Asheville fairly recently for a couple of days. I did pick this up locally. Man is starting to distribute in the state of Georgia, and if they have been for a while, they're starting to make their way down here to Savannah. So I saw this on the shelf locally. It really stood out, and they'd make some good beer. So I was like, let's give this a shot.
It's a sharp label. I mean, it really is. And it has a nice pop, kind of comic booky there on the front, and nice high contrast, which does make it really stand out. Poured in glasses, this is kind of billed as, of course, an Imperial Black Ale, and it looks like it sounds. Raymond, how would you describe it poured into the glass?
Actually, when Keith poured it, I thought of it very much as a stout, although I would call it, in viscosity, maybe closer to a porter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it poured with that bit. It's really thick. Again, maybe not as thick as a stout, but poured with a really big, thick head, khaki head, that's since diminished, very, very stout-like. But looks good and smells fantastic.
Yeah, the aroma is really just that kind of pungent, you know, spice collection that you often get in these, you know, quote unquote Mexican beers, whether it be Mexican cake or Hunapu, all this sort of chocolate, spiced chocolate, mole, however slight variation of that has become kind of popular. And this one delivers on that for sure. I mean, I definitely get the cinnamon a good bit that they specifically put in here, and those chilies are doing good. It doesn't smell like it's going to be a hot beer or spicy in that sense, but you do get that nice kind of chili pepper in there, and it's super chocolatey, mild roast. It's a really pleasant smelling beer.
100% agree. That was a really, really nice feature of this beer, and that's what's gotten me most psyched to take a sip, which I encourage you guys to go ahead and do. I like you, I get that cinnamon, I get that kind of almost like a French toast-ish kind of with the cinnamon and the sugar, but it's really backed with that caramelly, syrupy kind of piece too. That's really nice and hearty. And then that chocolate, that dry chocolate on the aroma as well. You guys have had a chance to taste it. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you think.
To me, it starts out really almost surprisingly sweet, mm-hmm. very kind of almost sugary sweet on the front end. Not really necessarily a chocolatey sweet, but like a kind of like a sugary sweetness, brown sugar,
molasses,
very good. Yes,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, that kind of thing. Then you start to get some of that chocolate and the chili peppers. It finishes surprisingly kind of bitter mm-hmm. and dry, so kind of like the cocoa nib kind of dryness to it. More bitter, like in a hot IPA like bitterness than you would necessarily expect from like a stout or a porter. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of where, you know, and I've seen this labeled, I've never had the original beer that it's kind of based on. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's designed to be a black IPA or if it just falls in that strong ale category or something like that. But although it pours like a stout and smells like a lot of these kind of chocolatey spice stouts that we have, I don't really necessarily drinks like one.
No.
It's definitely a little bit thinner in the feel, goes down a little bit kind of smoother and quicker, but it's pretty good. It's tasty.
It drinks really easy, and I've got to say, I like it a lot, and I like it as a compliment to some of those bigger beers like we were talking about and trying to compare it to, because that's an easy touchstone for the style and one we've been able to have, thankfully, a couple of times. But the idea that you can have the same types of flavor,
yep.
Similar intensity to and clarity mm-hmm. of those flavors, but in something that is so much easier to drink
mm-hmm. yeah.
Is really, really interesting. And I think I may like that more than I expected, because I do, in my head, I want a stronger, thicker base yep. beer to hold up all those different things. But I really like just being able to sip it right down. And the heat for me, the peppery heat is cumulative. So like if you have a couple of sips right in a row, you kind of feel it on the end
yeah.
in addition to that hoppiness.
Yeah,
that
tartness, I'm not super sensitive to mm-hmm. to like kind of pepper spice. And I get it more in a flavor component as opposed to necessarily a heat, which is not to say that after a couple more sips, it might not build up a little bit for me. But I really have to agree. This is an interesting, for a dark beer, this is sort of an interesting take on it. And I feel like it would, obviously this has come out in the summertime, or at least that's when we've gotten it here in Savannah. But I feel like this would be a great sort of summer to fall transitional beer for a dark beer, because it's relatively easy to drink, like you were saying, even mm-hmm. though it's got so much going on in it, and that kind of bitterness makes it you know, a little more typical of you know, the kind of beer that you want to drink a good bit of. You know, a lot of these yeah. a lot of these kinds of stouts normally, yeah, they're a little bit, they're delicious, but it's a slow sipper and you want to take your time with it. You know, this is good.
That almost that kind of fall picnic-y,
yeah.
you know, sitting outside at the park, enjoying mm-hmm. your food and being able to drink this. It really is a nice primer for the mm-hmm. the colder weather
yeah.
To come, for sure.
How's your Spanish?
Es muy bad.
The label's in Spanish.
Un rico, duro, negro, como las tintas el aena. De chocolate, amargo y sabores tostados debido a la adición de azúcar morena, with brown sugar. It's got brown mm-hmm. sugar added
yeah.
straight into it. Canela, guajillo, y morita chiles, anchos mexicanos, y abumado y edad en los granos de cacao del chocolate lounge French broad. Yeah, so I mean it's rich and it's dark and mm-hmm. you know, it's chocolate and it's flavorful, toasted, flavorful with brown sugar. canela. Is that another type of sugar? I'm not quite sure if that's like a caramel type of thing. Names off the chilies that are in it. Yeah, interesting.
It says it's brewed with caramel.
Yeah.
So I would guess.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So brown sugar. Well, and I get that. And I think that's where that sweetness comes in on the front end, as opposed to, you know, where you go in with a stout with maybe the kind of the roastiness or some sweetness to it. But that makes total sense. That brown sugar, caramel kind of thing. I almost get like a, I don't know, like a marshmallowy kind of thing going on in for this, sure. Just a little bit, you know, that kind of campfire, you know, marshmallow kind of thing, salted chocolate, you know, with the spices kind of harkens to a little bit of that, but it's really very, very pleasant.
Well, I think we missed the most important ingredient that's listed here. It's made with pure Asheville imagination.
True, true, very true.
Asheville, seeming home to every cool, amazing, freakishly great brewery for a while now. I mean, that's obviously spreading out, but still, density per square foot, Asheville has a lot of places beat for your beer city rankings, for sure. There's always a new brewery that I'm hearing about, and I'm like, how can they hold another brewery?
It's true.
It's
not a very big town.
It's
you know?
Really not. And it's a part of their international series. I'd be interested to find out what else they do in that. I got to tell you, the Green Man stuff that I've had has all been, for the most part, things that I thought were good.
Yeah.
But I can't remember having one where I was like, this is definitely an kind of beer for me.
I'll tell you, I think they've sort of built their local tradition on being the solid everyman guy, you know, based on kind of English style, ESB importers and a pale ale and that kind of thing back when it was relatively new, this whole craft beer scene. I feel like in recent years, they've definitely, as the brewery has expanded and as they've expanded their facilities, they've branched out into much different things. When I was there in Asheville, I did stop by the brewery and they had a India Pale Lager on that was excellent. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really good. In fact, you know, normally I go in a brewery, I try a couple of things. I had a couple of those. I liked it so much, I had another one. It was really good. Yeah, those
Revelry
are.
Has one that's in cans. And.
Yeah, they're popping. They're definitely doing that. And it's interesting. And then they do some wild sour beers. I had one called Snozberry, which. Was the first time I'd had anything that wasn't simply one of their IPAs or, you know, porter or something like that. And it was quite good as well. So they're definitely branching out a little bit. And I think that for people like you or me until recently, you think, they make good solid beer. They just sit at the bar and drink. Well, they're kind of branching out from that. So don't necessarily shy away from some of the newer offerings. If that had been your experience from 5-10 years ago, you know, they're branching out a little bit. So if you're more adventurous, so are they.
Well, let's talk about this idea of it being a Mexican beer. We were talking about this a little bit beforehand, and that kind of gets thrown around with the with your Mexican cakes, your Junipus, and that's because of the addition of particular. It seems like it's chocolate and it's the pepper spicing.
Yes.
Sometimes coffee in some of these beers.
Well, there's variants and variations on that, but it's typically the. I believe it's the chocolate and the spiced chocolate kind of flavor.
Yeah. Right. But that's not actually the kind of beer you associate actually being brewed or even consumed regularly in Mexico. It's kind of this idea of taking these traditionally Mexican ingredients and including them in, you know,
well, that's an Aztec thing.
Right. Yeah. That's the Junipu kind of where that comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's something that in traditional native ingredients to use in a beer that actually may not be what your brain associates with Mexican beer. I think for a lot of us, when we think of Mexican beer, we're thinking about these tropical lagers, you know, kind of the thinner, your Coronas, but that has also recently become a trend in American craft beer to do these Mexican lagers.
Which does make it slightly, I think, confusing for some people purchasing, you know, beer at the store. If you've been really big into Junipus and then you pick up Burrito and you see, Mexican lager, maybe you're expecting a Mexican
spice
lager. And exactly. So, but you know, it's like you see, you know, these sort of, and so it does sort of blur the lines of, are you producing something that's traditionally the style that's produced in that country, or are you sort of playing around with ingredients? Either way, both are great. I mean, I've really enjoyed a lot of the Mexican lagers that have been done lately.
Yeah.
It's an interesting style because I don't know that I'm going to pay $11 a six pack for the craft version as opposed to necessarily, you know, those styles that aren't quite as expensive. But on the other end of the spectrum, there's, you know, the endless discussion of who actually owns whom. So if you find a brewery that you trust and you want to have that style occasionally, it is kind of a nice, you know, a nice segue into having that without having to feel like you're putting money into the wrong person's hands or anything like that. So,
well, one thing that's going to make that easier for a lot of people is the new craft brewer, independent craft brewer label
that a lot of breweries
are adopting to make that easier. Raymond recently wrote about that on his column on Connect Savannah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit for people who haven't been following along with the news, kind of how this new labeling came to be or what they should look for if they're in a store and are trying to figure out if they're supporting a crafty brand, you know, a craft beer that's actually owned by a major label, or if it is an actual independent brewery.
Well, I think it is that it's that reaction to so many breweries or craft breweries being purchased by the big guys. And so what is it? The Craft Brewers Association?
I can't remember.
Sounds like a thing.
Came up with a label that's it's you have to be brew under a certain amount. You have to be locally owned.
Yeah, a certain percentage owned by not some other entity, that kind of thing.
And there's just it's a label, and it's what is it? And it's an upside down.
It's an upside down bottle. It looks like an upside down 12 ounce bottle, if I'm right. White with a black.
And then it just says craft beer association approved craft brewery or whatever, something along those lines, and is supposed to distinguish between those guys and the guy the so-called craft breweries that are owned by the big breweries these days. Not everybody's bought into it, but a lot of them have a service. Are you guys going to do it?
I don't know. As a brewery that's owned by a bunch of investors, I'm not sure where we fall technically in the grand scheme. I mean, I know like we're part of the Brewers Association, so I assume that we would fall into that. I don't think it's more than the allotted amount is owned by anyone who would, you know, be a part of that. As I have not heard anything about that. I mean, that does involve, you know, getting new labels printed
and approved. I would and guess.
I don't know if they. Yeah, I guess
if the information is the same,
the actual
then
product.
Adding the label is an automatic approval.
That makes sense because it's not changing.
But I mean, in our case, you know, with the on-site sleeving of the cans, I mean, we have rolls and rolls and rolls of at least the core brands, you know, on the ready to be used. So we're going to have to go through. We would go through those first if in fact we're going to decide to do that. And I think, you know, I think it's kind of an interesting idea. I just think that it comes down to education and what's important to you and whether it's important to be drinking craft. And craft is a word that's become almost meaningless. Do you know what I mean? It's like a debate, and that's the argument that, you know, these, you know, crafty breweries are putting up. It's like, oh, we craft this beer no different than we did before this happened, so what's the big deal? And then, you know, it's this idea of having to explain, you know, whether, you know, again, we've talked about it a gajillion times and people talk about it, and some people care and some people don't, and they're definitely right. So you know, and the fact that the definition of craft beer changes, you know, from year to year, and they up the barrelage, lower the barrelage, and whatnot. It's all just sort of, you know, drink what you like, and if there is some, you know, reason other than the quality of the beer that you choose not to purchase a beer, well, then that's your right. You know,
this is initiative from the Brewers Association, which is kind of like their lobbying guild too, is a big part of what they do for craft breweries. According to their website, there are around 5,000 craft breweries in the U.S. Currently, 1,624 have chosen to adopt the seal.
Okay.
So you can find out more about that at craftbeer.com if you're into that sort of thing. I think it's cool, and it makes a little bit of sense as people. I mean, like when you're traveling, when you encounter a label that you don't normally know, it's just kind of nice to have a little bit of a shorthand. So I'm a fan of that.
We're going back in time. Keith's spreadsheet. Let's do this!
Keith is kind enough to log all of the beers that he has had with short reviews on a spreadsheet, and a lucky few people have access to this spreadsheet. I am going to make the most of that by having Raymond play a little game. This is a game we call Keith's Spreadsheet. I will read a review from the spreadsheet, and we will see if Raymond can guess the beer based on the review. Right now, Raymond is at 52%. Not bad overall. Yeah. I made that up. Raymond, are you ready to play?
Sure.
All right. This is an American Double Imperial Stout. It is aged on Nordagio's coffee, cacao nibs, vanilla beans, and chili peppers. The smell of this is fantastic. It is like freshly iced double chocolate cake sitting next to a bag of coffee beans. Just a hint of non-distinct chili spice is in the aroma as well. The taste is of rich dark chocolate fudge, intense bitter roast coffee, and a subtle amount of chili spice and heat. A bit of hops are on the finish that I wish was just a bit smoother. The 13% ABV is nowhere to be found in the taste either. It is perfectly hidden, not quite as refined as CCB Huna or WB Mexican Cake, but this beer is in the same league for sure. I will get my hands on bottles of this anytime I can. 4 out of 5. The beer is Fonzie.
Wow. So,
So many of these beers have come out since I probably wrote that I now have no idea.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't know. I was watching you over there, like, kind of cutting your eyes at Raymond, and I was thinking that.
I was cutting, going, what the heck?
Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
I can't remember.
But you eliminated the two big ones.
Yeah, so it's not Mexican Cake
and the review.
Right. Which is why I'm thinking, well, what's one that I really like after that, you know?
Wow, you stumped Keith.
Yeah. Look, there's like 5,000 beers.
I know. It's not that. It's the only one that I'm aware of that uses Nordagio's coffee.
Yeah, I figured that was, I thought that was going to be the big hint for me, like it would come to
but
me, but I
have to place it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because it's, yeah.
Is it a geography thing?
Geography thing, meaning that you can only get it at a certain place?
Yeah. Well, no, like the coffee.
Yeah, I think so.
See, I don't know where Nordagio
is. No, I don't either. I wouldn't either unless I hadn't seen it on the bottle a million times.
A million times?
Four times. Well, I could go down the street and see it right now. Is that helping? It's distributed here. It's not a foreign pickup, not anymore, at least.
Meaning it's available year-roundish?
Now I believe it is. At the time that you wrote this, it was rotating, but I think now it's year-round. We at least seem to be able to find it on our shelves pretty regularly. It could just be that it sits because nobody wants to pay that much for a 4-pack.
I think I know.
4-pack.
I think I know.
We could call our buddy Brian Welsbacher.
I got it. Well, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Who does beersokay.com? Beer from Oklahoma.
Yeah. Okay. So we got Bomb.
Yeah.
And that's Prairie.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. Prairie Bomb. Prairie Bomb, you guys. Prairie Bomb. Where's my bell? We're back in the studio with the bell. The bell used to be here. The bell's not here.
Yeah,
I'm so sad.
Yeah, that is funny because it was like
It was like the number three.
It was like the one. People were freaking out and having to get it, and the traders were all going. I guess everything falls off eventually. You know, people don't go as nuts for Heady Topper like they were when it was at its peak. You know,
and
but yes, they're kind of everywhere now, and it sits.
Yeah, it sits.
It does. So I mean,
it's bad. It's just expensive.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't even know if it's still rotating or if it actually does come out all the time now. But I know
it's
pretty regularly I can go find it, and I like having that option. But again, I don't pick it up that often.
Yeah. Well, it's I mean, things that aren't. You're more inclined to spend a little more money when it seems special or it's something that you can't get normally. But when something really expensive is there in front of you all the time, it's a little bit harder to take that leap. So,
Well, I'd love to hear. I think we all would love to hear from you out there listening. If you have a Mexican beer, and I'm doing air quotes when I say Mexican beer.
That I saw it. It's true. You did.
Yeah, it's did. True. I got validation here. That you really like. Let us know on Twitter or Instagram, on Facebook, on our page for this post, or go to the website itself and leave a comment. Anything that you do like that would be super awesome. And you just might hear yourself on the show, like our friend Phil Lepanto. Phil commented on episode 170, the Mendoza Line podcast, over on the website. He said, "Hey guys, great episode. I take your podcast out for my marathon training." He's running the Baltimore Marathon on October 21st of this year. "Really enjoyed the deep dive on the digital dissolution that Clap would do." Yeah, mm-hmm. "Looking forward to the next episode. Sorry you had to wait so long, Phil, but thanks." Yeah. It was not your feedback that took us so long, I promise.
Hey, good luck on the marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah,
keep us in the loop with what you're doing. Got a couple of months out. That's exciting to see how that goes for you. For more about us and Brew Drink Run, go to brewdrinkrun.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Brew Drink Run or on Facebook at facebook.com/brewdrinkrun, or give us a follow on Untappd. If you want to be a part of the show, email us at team@brewdrinkrun.com. Let us know about your home brewing, your running training, your favorite place to grab a beer, or your favorite Mexican beer. Again, I did
air quotes.
Air quotes, yes. There was air quotes.
You can call us at 781-76-DRINK. Leave us some audio. We'll put that right in the show for us. We've got Brew Drink Run t-shirts, technical running shirts available on our website. Click on the store link. Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you on the streets, because we'll be taking it to the streets.
Oh, man. Awesome.
We'll be taking it to the streets. Taking it to the
streets. Take it to the streets, R-Dog.
Taking it to the streets. Oh, yeah, the R-Dog.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
What? How do you not know?
Taking it to the streets. You know streets. The Doobie Brothers? Come on.
Yeah, he knows the Doobie Brothers, all right. Doobies.